Dear Live Journal. Nope. This is going to be an angsty one. Dear Zanga. It's me, Adam Miller. And yeah, I guess you could say things aren't going well today. My cousin CEJ's dead, the one reason I was turned into a Mothman in the first place. So yeah, I guess I shit the bed. And then Susan Wexler said she could save us, but now she's been taken away. I'm just feeling so helpless and useless and angry. I'm going to say it. I'm peeved to hell. But, you know, we gotta save Susan. She's going to help us save not only our world, but the entire universe, probably. Great. We're heroes, and we won't even get the respect we deserve. Plus, Shamanda's mad at me because, well, I guess I haven't really been talking to her much recently. I've sort of been dealing with my inner demons, literally. But, I should talk to her before she gets hurt, or she kills us all. Adam Miller standing out, listening to Freak on a Leash.
Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of motivated mortals and apocalypse apologists. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the Woo! Crooked.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Go, Shamanda!
We love you!
That's the baseball team, all cheering me on. I love it. But hey, everybody, I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt the Crooked. And I just wanted to say, I can't feel the way I did before. Don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored.
Alan, can you just say my name?
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch.
And I play Adam Miller, the Monstrous, and I'm a perfect 10. I'm more like a 7.
Hi, I'm Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine the Flake. The dictionary defines flake as a small, flat, thin piece of something, and that is scarily accurate.
Hi, everyone. I'm Claire Linick. I play Susan Wexler, an expert at monster hunting, and even better, at whistling.
Hey, everybody. I'm Alan Linick. I play the voice of real-life Jeff Murdoch and also Derek Pfeiffer, who is the Divine. And did you guys know that they make M&M small now?
Before we get started, I do want to say we had a wonderful time at the game night with our Patreon members. So thank you all so much for joining us. It was really fun doing the Jackbox gaming, and there were some really great t-shirt designs that got generated there. So thanks again so much, and we look forward to doing it again sometime, especially with our newest Patreon member, Charlsey Bastian. Thank you so much for being part of our little operation, Charlsey. We are really excited to have you.
Woo!
Alan, can we get just a patented woo?
Woo!
Beautiful.
When he asks, you give your shortest one.
That was the same one I did earlier, wasn't it?
Or was it? I don't know.
So, where we left off, Shamanda summoned the devil to the Haverford Generating Station. She then broke her contract and walked into the bowels of the generating station to join Layla, proclaiming that she was going to take over as the head of hell. Susan was grabbed by Shamanda's crew of mind-controlled softball girls and joined Shamanda walking into the dark. Derek, Adam, and Crashly were running to follow, but looked over their shoulders and saw that the world no longer exists outside of this power plant. We'll start off with Shamanda. Shamanda, you had a moment of realization where you were like, I need to take care of myself, and you summoned Ryder Strong, broke contract, and then Layla contacted you through your telepathy, and she made an offer to you that you could join her and You did so. So you're walking forward. And as you're moving forward, Shamanda, you're experiencing changes. Kind of what you had seen everybody else having, like this growth, and like you've seen all the people around you, Crashly, Adam, Susan, to a lesser degree, CEJ, they have always been becoming more powerful versions of themselves. And I think what we've learned is that you've always kind of had like maybe some jealousy around that. Would that be accurate?
Oh, yeah. Call me green.
Well, now we'll call you red because you feel yourself like full on manifesting what you believe yourself to be. And as you continue to walk forward, Rashawn, I have created a new character sheet for you, and I am making it visible in our character sheets. It's called Spooky Shamanda.
Spooky Shamanda!
And Spooky Shamanda has a few different moves than regular old Shamanda felt. Spooky Shamanda keeps her crew and her telepathy, but you have the new ability Tune In, which allows you to tune in to any monster or minion that you have.
Ooh.
You can use your telepathy to know exactly where they are or what they're planning. You have Big Whammy, so you can use your weird powers instead of tough to do attacks. And you have the sight, so you can see invisible spirits and influences, and you can use those to communicate with them and maybe even offer deals. The other thing is, as you are walking through, and you're experiencing like a weird thing, you're just really, it's like this. When you're on a car radio, and you, of course, Shamanda Feld is an excellent driver, so you know car radios very well. You're on one station and it's coming through clean. And then when you get to a new location, it starts to get a little bit of static and the signal is like degraded and it's not working anymore. But if you just tilt over one click, it goes to the stronger new channel and suddenly it's just coming through completely clean. That's what happens as old Shamanda Felt is gone and replaced by the new improved Spooky Shamanda Felt. And so this is what takes place, and in this moment you just, so from one step you truly, one step you're a girl, the next step you are the queen of hell as you are walking forward. How does Shamanda feel in this moment?
Shamanda feels fucking on the moon, and the moon's on fire, and I controlled the fire, and I'm gonna throw that fire into the earth just to watch it burn.
Now take me over!
And you are just hearing, you hear in your head the voice of Layla again, and she is speaking to you with respect, like an equal, and she just says, "You can be everything you've ever wanted. Just join me and help me be free."
Yeah. Fine.
And you continue on. Behind you, Susan is there. Susan, you are getting dragged by Adriana and Astrid and the other softball girls who are sort of stone-faced, just lockstep walking. What are you doing, Susan? You see in front of you also, you do see Shamanda shift.
Yeah, and I saw Shamanda's kind of storm out, right? I didn't see the deal with the devil, did I?
You did. You saw all of that.
I'm just going to be yelling to Shamanda like, okay, all right. Let's take a different path than this one. And I'm still dead bonies. So they can still lift me, but it is going to be very difficult.
Yeah, they're really struggling with it. You can see that if they had free will, they would be really annoyed. But since they don't, it doesn't seem to be bothering them too much.
Right. Shamanda, go ahead.
No, please.
I'm just going to pull a small pocket mirror out of my pocket and try my best to hold it up to Shamanda's face and just be like, remember who you are.
Get that little light out of my face. Oh, my God. You trying to blind me? I'm the queen of hell.
It's just a mirror.
Susan, how do you respond to that?
I just am like,
do you cry?
I'm not going to cry.
You are angry currently.
And that makes sense. Let me see my sheet if there's anything I can actually do. Okay. I'm going to open up my third eye.
Okay.
To see, basically my best way out of this.
Okay, yeah, roll for read a bad situation. So this is plus sharp.
Oh, God, okay. Be a good day to roll better. Okay, no, actually, that's good. And then I have minus two, right? Because I'm...
No, that's... You have minus two to cool, but not to sharp.
Nice.
Oh, wonderful. So then it is going to be an 11.
Great. You get to ask up to three questions. Now or at any point while you're in this sort of... As long as you are being, like, held prisoner by the softball girls, you are able to use one of your holds.
Okay, I'm going to just do one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I think, you know, I know the general answer of probably Layla, but I think I'm going to ask, what's the biggest threat?
Interesting. Okay. Great. As you are, so it's what's the biggest threat, and you have opened up your third eye, correct?
Yes, sir.
So the way that I'm going to answer this is I'm going to cut over for a second, but trust, your question will be answered. We're going to cut over to Derek, Crashly, and Adam, who are racing down the halls to try to follow after. It's weird because the power plant is just a power plant. It's not like there's a lot of space or rooms or anything, but the hallways seem to extend into darkness. The colors of the walls are shifting slightly to like a deeper red. The heat is rising. It feels clear whoever is in front of you is exerting, consciously or not, some control on this space, and it is losing some of its Euclidean lines. And as you're running, Derek explains to you, to the best of his understanding, what's going on. And Derek, I'm going to go ahead and say what it is that you explained to them, if that's okay with you.
Totally fine.
So Derek, as he's running, tells you guys about the coherence, which is what seems to be currently occurring, which is the following, that the loss of... There are these 36 souls that the universe uses to keep track of itself, essentially. They are what it measures to know if the universe is working correctly or not. And when one of them is irrevocably lost by being damaged and then removed, the universe no longer has a means of measuring itself and returns to a sort of universal wave function. It begins to collapse into superposition where all possibilities are present and overlapping, and everything is in existence all at the same time. Everything is, nothing is not. And so everything is coherent in that sense of like everything could exist, but as a result, nothing exists. That is what is starting to happen. The universe is smashing back into a state, from your perspective, of no longer existing. The problem with that, and Susan is experiencing this, as the universe stops paying attention to itself, the bounds on what can be and what cannot be are loosed. Which means, as a result, how you see yourself takes on a much greater weight than it normally does. In the normal world, that is just an emotional or a metaphoric thing. But now in the coherence, as possibility becomes much more real, it becomes much more literal. Literally, how you see yourself is who you will become. And so Derek is warning this. And as he does, Susan, what I'm going to say for you is you realize this in the following fashion. As you are there, you are very angry. Will you tell us, when is another time that you have been this angry in your life?
Eighth grade, we were doing the musical Annie, and Barb got to play Annie, and I had to play Orphan number 72.
And as that comes up for you, like this feeling, you know, you're not consciously thinking about it, but anytime you feel a strong feeling, you remember the other times you felt that way. As you're thinking about it and you're remembering Barb and how she always follows you, but also always seems to be a step ahead and kind of has it easy. She doesn't have the moral qualms that you do. You feel something shifting, and I'm going to need you to act under pressure.
Okay.
So roll plus cool, and remember, you're angry. So this is going to be a negative two.
Okay, luckily still going to be a 9.
Mm. Okay, great. So you are able to hold yourself together as, for a moment, a different Susan Wexler starts to surface. And if you look, I have updated our sheet and added a second character sheet for Susan Wexler, which is Crooked Wexler. This is the other version of yourself that I think you, in your heart of hearts, fear maybe that you truly are or could have been, which is a Susan Wexler who never stopped being an assassin.
Yep.
Whoa.
So,
an assassin?
But you are able to push it away. So the ongoing threat is going to be, for the moment, you are able to keep yourself who you are, but that is always going to be at risk. At any point, you might slide over into being who you fear yourself to be, which
okay.
is this.
So and that's that is my what biggest you risk.
And as you kind of touch that hot wire and pull back, you realize that's what the biggest threat is that no one here is stable. Everybody could be whatever they want. And as you're doing that, as you walk, you look over, and the way that it really locks into place is you look over and one of the softball girls is Little Orphan Annie.
Oh my God. That's a lot.
And she just looks at you and says, "The sun will come up." But when doesn't finish it.
I say back to her the one line I had in the play. I'm so hungry. So knowing what I know and kind of guessing what happened to Shamanda, I'm going to just look over and yell at her, "We can save CEJ."
Great. Yeah. So yeah, you do real, and you are correct. You realize that over the last 20 or 30 minutes, Shamanda's sort of emotional whirlwind has caught up to her and led to this change. And I will say mechanically what this is your characters are shifting to match the emotional conditions that you have. So Shamanda felt guilty, and it makes sense to me that the way you deal with your feelings is to blame it on somebody else. So she blamed the devil and then took his spot, became the devil. Susan is angry, and when you're angry, you damage something or someone, which is what somebody like Barb would do. So she's sort of shifting over into those things. So if and as you guys take emotional conditions, they are going to change your reality around you. So you can tell that this happened to Shamanda, and you tell her that we can fix this, that you can save CEJ. Shamanda, how does that land for you?
Shamanda doesn't believe Wexler at this moment. I'm too overcome. Like, what? If you knew we could do this, you shouldn't have let it get to this point. You're the adult. CEJ was right this whole time. We should have never gotten involved at all. And in that, I'm going to try to summon Chet to just come back and bother her.
Whoa. Great, you do. You have control over the damned souls of hell, so...
Oh, wow.
He appears and he says, "What? No. No, not again. Oh, where is that little Susan?
I have never been happier to see Chet Gibbons in my life. Like, that was, in my mind, I see what Shamanda did, and in my mind, I'm just like, well, that was a misstep. Because Chet is... like, as bad as he was as a boyfriend, he was a very good monster hunter. And so I'm hoping he's going to be able to help get me out of a pinch. So I'm going to explain the situation to him as quick as I can.
Great. As you explain to him, we'll cut over to Derek, Crashly, and Adam. As Derek finishes explaining the coherence to the three of you, what do you guys do with this information?
Well, I think that... I love this situation. I don't have any conditions right now. And I see myself as Wonder Woman right now, like from a cereal box.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like my weapons are getting stronger.
That is really great.
Yeah.
Nothing happens to Crashly.
Oh, no.
And Derek, that is really fucking weird.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But I think I'm getting stronger.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And that's important.
You totally believe it. But as you do, well, I guess really the question is, do you tell the other people that you are doing
this? I just say, I got this. This reminds me of when my mom's refurbished Gateway laptop started going slow, and I knew exactly what to do. I don't remember what it's called, but I did this thing that I followed where a bunch of like multicolored blocks came on the screen for like a couple of hours, and after it was done, it worked like much faster.
Defrag.
I think that's just what we have to do with the world. It's called like defracking or something like that.
Defrag.
So all we have to do is like do that. And so we just have to find like some codes. And it's a power plant. So it must be like full of codes. And I think if I just think they're the right codes, then they will be. So I'm going to head up to the office and get this taken care of.
If Crashly is...
Okay. I'll come with you.
Cool. Adam, are you in?
I guess. Yeah, let's do it.
You seem down, but I've got to tell you, like, I think I got this under control for the first time in a long time.
I try to put on a brave face, but in my head, I'm like, I don't think Ash Crashly knows what she's talking about.
Great. So, Adam, it sounds to me like you're indulging in a bad habit almost.
Yeah, I feel like I don't trust myself anymore. And
yeah,
Susan said she knew what she was doing, but now we can't find Susan. And I'm like, well, if Crashly says she knows what's up, I'm going to follow these two because I don't trust myself.
And that's when Adam shifts as a result, as he gives up and kind of flees into another version of himself. Jeff, I've opened it up, and this is your The Wronged character sheet. As you,
The Wronged Miller.
The Wronged Miller.
That's a NPC in D&D, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Adam Miller, as you are sort of there and you are feeling hopeless and just completely beat down, you don't trust anybody, you don't think anything can work, I think part of you just wants to get even. Mm-hmm. And the sort of feeling of like, this is all wrong, just overwhelms. And you guys see Adam Miller. And so Adam Miller, I'm curious, this other version of you, what's different about him?
Oh, he looks goth. His skin gets paler. His hair is dyed black and a little bit longer, covering his face. And he's got Hot Topic chains and bungees.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah. All the stuff that would make EJ jealous,
mm-hmm.
You have. And you have some new moves as a result. So you know your prey. You have +1 ongoing when you pursue or fight the breed of monster that caused you to lose those that you loved. So I believe that would be salamanders and their ilk.
Them.
You can heal yourself a little bit. And you can go berserk, which means no matter how much harm you take, you can keep going until the fight ends.
Cool.
And does this change what you decided to do? Before, you were like, I'll just follow Crashly and Derek.
You know, I think once a shift comes over me, I don't follow them. I'm going to use Know My Prey and see if I can find where the salamanders are holed up. And I assume that's where they're taking Susan.
Yeah, great. Roll to investigate a mystery and add 1 to it.
Okay. It is a 4.
Yeah.
I think my chain gets caught in a door.
No, I think what happens, similar. The other thing that you all notice is, well, I don't know if Adam Miller notices this or not, but you have purged yourself of Mothman.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, as you become this person, this is truly like an alternate possibility of who Adam Miller could have been.
Yeah.
This is the Adam Miller who didn't become the Mothman. This is the Adam Miller who swore vengeance on the Mothman. This is the Adam Miller whose cousin and his cousin's family was taken from him and has spent the last year and a half trying to hunt them down. Like, this is truly a different reality of Adam Miller, which is great because you are looking for Layla and how to go. And the answer kind of presents itself when Prime walks out from an entrance in front of you.
Oh,
and
no, the Prime Moth.
the Prime Mothman and just says,
"What a disappointment."
Oof. You are. You're the disappointment. And I flick my hair with my head.
Great. And you see to his left a familiar form of your aunt. And she says,
"We did what we could, but it's all over now."
Can I see this? I'm like, "Wait, what was CEJ's last name?" Cody Ernst Jr. Ernst?
Yes.
Yep.
Mrs. Ernst? What the heck? What are you doing here?
She turned me into the Mothman.
What? Mrs. Ernst? What
You're
the heck
a
Mothman? Is going on?
I was a Mothman. Now I'm just troubled.
Hey, good job, buddy. You're not a Mothman anymore?
Yeah, I fought that addiction off. Now I'm straight edge.
Honestly.
Hey, congrats.
Really impressive and kind of hot. Anyway, Mrs. Ernst, what's going on?
And she tilts her head, and you realize you have made a mistake, Crashly. You have addressed this thing like it's a person, and it is not, as her moth wings appear behind her, and she tackles into you.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
I'm not even... I'm going to do
Thank
never
God
again.
You're stronger.
Okay, yeah. Great. So you are going to do never again. So what? Yeah. So that's like a 10 plus. So you automatically step in and protect Crashly. But what is the result?
So in a combat, you may choose to protect someone without rolling as if you rolled a 10 plus, but you may not choose to suffer little harm as my side effect.
That's right. So you either all impending danger is focused on you, you inflict harm on the enemy, or you hold the enemy back.
Oh, some of those sound good. Mm-hmm. Wait, right?
Yeah.
I inflict harm on the enemy.
Okay. So you will inflict harm on the enemy. That does mean all impending danger is not focused on you, and you will not hold the enemy back.
Good point. You're right. That makes sense. Can I change that then?
Yeah.
I'm going to hold the enemy back. That's what I want to do.
You bar the doorway that she's flying through. She flies through, and you grab her. She bites into your neck. And that is going to be, damn, that's a 3 harm as she bites into your neck. And she is scraping at you as you hold the door, but you are able to block the hallway for Derek and Crashly for the moment as Prime just sort of impassively watches.
Run!
Should we help you?
We should help him. Yeah.
Help!
So I'm going to use my Haven, which is my fanny pack, which is my armory. And I'm going to grab, it's like, we actually own one of these in our home. It's like a tennis racket, but it's a bug zapper. But this one is very, very powerful.
Nice.
So,
wait, I have to ask. Has Crashly secretly been building weapons to take down each other member of the Monster Hunters Club?
Like Batman?
Yeah.
I think that definitely, like, wait, are you going to use that on me?
Not if I didn't have to. It was going to be a last resort, and I wasn't excited about it.
Crashly!
But it has a stun feature, but I'm not going to use that this time. I'm going to use the kill feature.
Or zap
set bug zapper to kill.
I'm setting it to zap for sure.
No, so here is the thing.
Okay.
Normally,
set it to zap.
Well, honestly, Crashly, go ahead and roll to kick some ass.
Okay.
Oh, it's a 25.
Wait, sorry. Okay.
Oh no. We're dead.
It's a 6.
Oh,
but I want to use luck.
Do it.
Now's a good time.
I might
time
as well.
For
yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I forgot about luck.
Okay. So, go ahead, Crashly. You use luck. So you get an automatic 12.
Yeah, that's great.
Right.
So you get to inflict harm on the creature. This is, at this point, this is Rebecca Ernst that you're hitting. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And yeah. So she is going to inflict harm back on you, and you get to pick something for this. Either you can give plus one to your next roll or to somebody else's next roll. You can inflict additional terrible harm. You can take less harm yourself. You can force her where you want her, or you can take something from her.
Oh, I'm going to force her where I want her.
Where's that?
In the space where there's nothing. I want her out there.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're just trying to throw her out of the power plant.
Yeah.
Like knock her
into a dark corner for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So yeah, with your luck, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The way that this works, you pull out this bug zapper. It's impressive. It should not be able to. It should not be this powerful. It shouldn't be able to do anything. But you believe it is this powerful.
Correct.
You completely believe, and with the full force of your being, and you all watch as this bug zapper that she pulls out of this sort of extra dimensional space grows larger and sort of stronger, and Crashly whips it back and smacks Rebecca Ernst, and Rebecca Ernst just goes sailing and then goes through the plane that is the loading dock doors of the Haverford Generating Station and disappears. Like, and ceases.
I asked the other moth, do you want to try it?
Tyler? Tyler, can I say?
You, Tyler.
Seeing this happen, I think I'm no longer hopeless.
Okay.
Yeah, right on.
Yes.
Then you, if you choose to, can go back to your old self. Or really, you tell us what is the result of that?
I think I shift back to Adam Miller the Mob.
Great. Yeah, you do. You go back to who you were before.
Yeah.
And you lose the hopeless condition.
Nice. I'm a moth again.
Yeah, like you are a moth?
No. Ooh. Maybe. Ooh. Wait, maybe I do turn into a moth right now.
Yeah, I mean, so here's what happened. Why don't we say this? I think this is very fun, so I'm going to say. So, Crashly, you do that. You know, as you do hit, the one thing that happens is because you kicked some ass, you didn't choose to take less harm yourself, which means as you knock her off of Adam, she kind of goes screeching and she reaches out and just claws at you, and you feel some of your own essence pulled from you as she drains some life from you. So you are going to take your first harm in this entire game.
Oh, congrats.
Hey, congratulations. Thank you.
Oh my
She's
God.
A congratulations.
You're going to take two harm, Crashly, as she sucks and like kind of rips at your skin as she gets pulled. But then the force of essentially your belief pushes her, and she just goes and coheres. She disappears into possibility of the universe.
I will say, instead of saying, want to try it, I say, want to try it?
Yeah.
Because I got hurt.
Because you got hurt. You're bruised up a little bit. And as you watch, then you look back over and you see Adam Miller kind of collect himself. That goth stuff goes away. And instead, the goth clothes disappear. He goes back to what he was wearing before, and giant moth wings sprout out from his back.
Oh, cool. And
I imagine that Adam Miller is then charging at Prime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like flying at Prime.
Yeah. What do you do?
I'm going to kick his ass.
Great. Roll to kick some ass. Meanwhile, while you're doing that, I want to check in with Derek. What is Derek doing?
I'm like, wow, evil. And I'm going to point at Moth Prime, and I am going to say, hey now, you bad moth. Hey, get on out of here. Yeah. Go on, beat feet. Yeah. And I'm going to use my special move, Cast Out Evil.
Oh. Whoa.
Okay. Cast Out Evil. So roll with tough.
Okay. Yep. Oh, no. I rolled a 7.
Hey.
That's... Okay, great. So it will take a little while for it to take effect, giving it time to make one or two actions. It will be you aren't harming it when you're banishing it, and you have no control over where it goes. Interesting. Oh, I love that you can use it on unnatural hunters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you do that to Prime, who is currently just sort of frantically beating wings and fighting for supremacy with Adam Miller. Adam, what was the result of your kick some ass roll?
I rolled a perfect 10 eye.
Ooh.
Great. What is the extra effect you're taking?
I should have looked at that. For kicking ass, I'm going to... I want to force him where I want him to.
And where is that?
I want to get him out into the coherence too, or onto the vapid wasteland.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, you do. I mean, you are going to take the full harm of his teeth attack.
That's fair. That's fair.
So you are going to take 3 harm as he rips into you.
Ooh.
Which means you are currently unstable.
I'm currently critical, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you are critical and critically unstable.
Oh, yeah.
And
critically acclaimed.
And critically acclaimed. And he is ripping into you. But then you just... So how do you physically do it? Do you just, like, lift him and throw him, or...?
Yeah, I think I'm, like... I think I wrap my legs around his waist, and I'm just, like, sort of, like, punching him, like, rapidly in the face. And then I'm going to use my feet to sort of drop kick him out the door.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, nice. You have your wings flapping.
Yeah, like, I keep myself...
Yeah, and yeah, I think you do, and you can. I think this is what happens is there is a moment where he is getting the upper hand on you, and then Derek kind of intercedes from the side, makes a motion, and you see just this moment where Prime goes slack a little bit as the banishment starts to take effect, and then you take advantage of that to just drop kick him into the coherence, and he goes and he dissipates.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All bye. Right.
Man, that was hot. That was cool.
That yeah. was awesome.
And then
this is
pass out.
Oh.
No, oh no.
Oh no.
The other
I was just
thing...
about to say that my berries were so razzed, and then
shoot.
Now I feel like a wet rag.
Crashly, because you use luck, the other thing that happens is you can pick an aspect of the current situation, and I will tell you what other conspiracies it connects to.
Oh, yeah. Do that. One aspect? I want to know about what's going on with Dirk. How's Dirk connect?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That open.
As you guys go, I think this is what happens. As Derek rushes over to Adam Miller to tend to him, Derek's arm brushes against one of the runes kind of carved into the wall of the hallway of this power station, and he winces. And there's like a burn sensation moment. And you realize...
Hey, ow!
And you realize whatever Layla is and whatever Ryder Strong is, because Ryder Strong, I mean, you guys ran away from him, but he was just sort of slumped down completely helpless. Whatever is affecting them is having some effect on Derek too. And he seems to be similar to them.
Oh, damn.
Uh-oh.
Were you on Boy Meets World too, Derek?
I... think so?
Feeny?
Can I make a roll or something? I don't know what Boy Meets World is, but it sounds like something that happened to me.
I mean, you don't need to make a roll. You can just tell it. Like, you can tell us. Like, I know that Derek might not remember, but do you?
I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Or
use,
do you want
I'm
me
use
to
lay
decide
on hands.
For you?
I'm gonna use lay on hands to like heal. I'm gonna heal Adam a little bit, and I'm gonna look. There's like a, when he looks up at me, it's almost like I'm backlit. Like there's like a glow behind me. And I say, Adam, I don't know what that is, but it's probably based on me.
Wow.
Damn. You're Corey Matthews, for real.
No, I'm Derek Pfeiffer.
Oh.
Roll plus cool, Derek.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
I like
it. Okay. I got a 10.
Yeah, great. You heal 2 harm for Adam Miller, and Adam, you are also stabilized.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Sweet.
Adam, they can't name the TV character after the real person. That would be literally illegal.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, what about I Love Lucy?
She
signed
a special contract. I read about it.
For Burns and Allen.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Mr. Burns from Simpsons?
Oh, yeah. Allen, and Allen? The
and
lawyers?
Tim Allen from Tim the Two-Man Taylor?
No, Burns and Allen. Great show. Probably the best show on TV right now.
Okay.
Do you have cable? Listen. Like, that...
Yeah, there's like a lot of great shows on right now. I wouldn't say Burns and Alice is one of them.
Yeah.
No, Burns and Allen. You guys don't know Burns and Allen? What do you live
under
a rock?
Have you seen South Park?
No. Yeah, oh my God, South Park is
so funny.
Which park?
South Park.
South Park.
Dude, okay, after we save the day, I'm going to have a serious South Park marathon with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but I'm game.
It'll be fun.
You know what?
I love fun.
Me too.
It's like one of my favorite things.
Oh my God.
I unzip you guys are awesome. I'm so intrigued by what you have going on here. Do you do stuff like this all the time?
Yeah, kinda. I mean, it was the last 2 weeks for sure.
Do you mind if I watch and like maybe sometimes help?
We would love that, honestly.
That'd be great.
You're like I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but you're like a really positive CEJ.
Yeah. Oh,
thanks. I know CEJ. I go to school with him. I unzip the air and I put my giant flaming sword back into nothing land.
Wait, we might need that still.
Oh, okay. And I take it back out.
Great. No. Yeah, you do. You have it. And then, so just to cover on this, I'm just going to give a few bits of information here to let you all play freely. So yeah, Crashly, more specifically, I think you certainly have gotten the pieces. You're a kid. You're a teen detective.
Yeah.
So you piece together a few things. A, the devil completely impacted by whatever these runes are and trapped here, just the same as Layla.
Okay.
The devil is an angel. You know that. You know, angels often carry big flaming swords. So you are like, oh, I think Derek might be
an angel.
An angel. You then realize the other part of it, which is, oh shit, Layla might be an angel.
Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
Do you have any sisters named Layla?
Because
the being causing all of this is named Layla, and I have reason to believe, she might be an angel.
Now, at this point, I want to ask Derek a question. Derek, what is your relationship to someone like the devil and someone like Layla? Kind of the two very big hitters. Where do you fall in the hierarchy of things?
I'm very low tiered, and I don't really associate with celestial powers or people anymore.
Okay.
So I don't know that I've ever met the devil or Layla, but
no.
I'm familiar with them. Like, I know who they are and what they represent.
Yeah, certainly. You also, I think, have known that Layla was trapped in Haverford the entire time.
That's why I'm here.
Oh, that's why you're here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, wait. Do you know what to do about it? Like, how to fix it? Okay. Same. But it's probably good that you're here. Wait, when you say it's why you're here, who sent you?
No one. But I've foreseen that you would be here. and you, did? You would be here, and I point to Adam, and also Shamanda would be here, and that's the end of my list.
Did you just decide to come
what,
here?
Wait, what about Miss Wexler?
I know. Yeah. Who is that?
Wait, you don't know Miss Wexler?
Nope.
That's weird.
Wait a second. What?
Do you only know about kids?
Wait, is this an Alan slide or is this actually?
I feel like Alan's about to like reveal something about my character. I don't know.
I don't know anything about you.
Oh my, this is so
awful. It's so interesting. Wow, it's so funny too because you have the same last name as Barb Wexler.
Wait,
well, I'm not in the room, so I'm not.
You're
having
not.
This
yeah, you're not there
I'm
at
part
all.
Part of this conversation.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny that you bring up a Wexler though because she has the same last name as Barb Wexler, who is super important.
Wait,
what's?
How?
How? Yeah.
Oh, she's got all kinds of like powers and spells, and she's really good at fighting monsters. And we probably will need her to deal with this demon situation.
I think you mean Susan Wexler.
Yeah, I think you got your Wexlers confused.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. But I have been wrong before, so maybe.
The other thing that, Derek, you do know, as you said that Crashly and Adam and Shamander are all part of this prophecy, the part that Crashly plays within it is Crashly is a little different than everybody else, which I realize is kind of a vast understatement.
Rude.
If the coherence is all possibilities, and so everyday life in the universe would be kind of the opposite of like decoherence, Crashly is something different, which is Crashly is incoherent. So it's not like all possibilities are one possibility. Crashly is just lacks definition within that spectrum. Crashly is outside of the universal spectrum. She is the fly in the ointment. She is like the grit in a clam's mouth. She's the leftover from a division problem. Kind of all of the stuff that doesn't work in the universe cohesed in one person. That's Crashly.
I've been doing cool. Swedish fish. Do you want some?
Me?
Mm-hmm. That's just what I've been doing the last couple minutes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Here
yeah.
you go.
Can I have some?
Yum, yum, yum.
So, yeah, sure. Derek, what are you doing in this
I
moment,
love these.
Derek?
Are these like the predominant candy, would you say?
No, nobody likes them but me, usually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the go-to candy? Like, if a normal M&M's. Person, like Adam, was going to eat a candy, what would it be?
Butterfinger BBs.
Mm. Yeah, those are pretty good.
We're going to cut back over to Shamanda and Susan as you all walk into the center core of the Haverford generating station. You walk in, you see, I think, Susan, this we'll say this from your perspective, as the softball girls pull you in, it's a large concrete room, very dark, filled with runes and ritualistic symbols. In the center of the room, off the ground, is held a being of force, deeply covered in shadow. There isn't skin, it's more substance, and it's almost pitch black. Her form has truly like a whole night's sky in it, similar to a lot of the demons that you've seen or called forward over the years. She has two enormous moth wings just hanging limply behind. She is, again, held by chains from all four corners of the room, holding her there. And she has wires just rippling out of her skin and going crisscrossing every which way and going into the walls and into the vast batteries that seem to be put up at the edge of the walls and sort of surrounding this space. And you realize that she truly is the generating station for Haverford. Circled around her are the salamanders, those few remaining, and they are crooning softly in worship and praise. And you see one other form there underneath Layla, slumped over unconscious, and you see the familiar form of your sister, Barb Wexler.
Slumped over?
Mm-hmm. She appears to be unconscious.
I'm just gonna, well, if this isn't the worst party I've ever been invited to.
And Layla, you can't see her face, Shamanda, but you hear her voice in your head, and she says, she must perform the ritual.
The ritual? I mean, one, hello. I just made this big entrance. I got all my girls here. I literally got Wexler here, no problem. And that's the first thing you say to me?
You're right. I apologize. It's been a while since I've been able to engage in social niceties with a peer. Welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was hoping for some accoutrement, some snacks or something out, but sure. Let's just get to your thing. I don't know, but what do you want with Wexler, first of all?
And she says she has the ritual and can complete it, and if she does not, then we are stuck here forever. This is it. This is all that exists. This prison. The rest of everything is gone, and this is forced to remain until the bindings are broken.
So, okay, just so I hear you clearly, all that nothingness that's outside, it will go away? Or, like, this prison meaning this this electrical power plant will go away? Because you're the only one imprisoned, currently. And all these girls, by my mind.
She chuckles and she says, that was true once, but now we're all prisoned. You, most especially. You made yourself a celestial. You brought yourself up to the power of the divine. You can't leave.
I mean, I brought myself up to the divine to, like, do what the divine could not. I'm not going to do what you guys are doing. That's crazy. I'm going to tune in on her.
Okay. Yeah, you do.
So that's 7 plus my weird.
And just so I know, am I able to, intercept this conversation? Can I hear this?
You tell me.
Well, how about Chet is interpreted? Chet, I assume, can hear it, and he's given me the highlights reel.
I love that idea. Oh, yes, yeah, you're Chet, absolutely
he's
right.
He's probably messing with yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What it is this is happening, and you're just hearing, like, in your ear, okay, and so she just said that everything outside, and then she's trapped, and then she's saying, and he's just doing that. And honestly, it feels a little bit like when you guys used to do pillow talk.
Or when we go to the movies together and you just explain the whole movie as it was happening.
God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Chet is sort of doing that and also being like, God, you smell really good, Susan.
Oh, thank you. It's body spray.
Ah, yeah.
Cucumber melon.
I wish I had a body. And then he gets back into translating. So yes, you are getting word of all of this from Chet. Are you doing anything about it?
I don't think I want to show my hand quite yet that I can hear what's happening, so I am just going to hang on for a second.
Cool.
Yeah. And that was a 9 on the tune in.
Okay, so then on tune in, Shamanda, you can ask one of those questions below about Layla. So where is the creature right now? What is she planning to do? Who is she going to attack next? What does she regard as the biggest threat? And how can I attract her attention?
Who does she regard? I mean, I feel like I know the answer to this already. I want to know why she fears Wexler so much.
Oh, she doesn't fear Wexler.
She does not. She has no fear for Wexler. That's strange.
No.
Why does she want her so bad?
It's like the exact what she fears is Wexler doing nothing. So, like, to take the question of, like, what's the biggest threat? Doing nothing.
The Wexler special. So she's all about that action. Ooh.
And like, you do feel, when she says that, like, you, yeah, a few things. You look over your shoulders and you realize you have moth wings, too. And you realize you have taken on, you didn't think it all the way through. You have turned yourself into an angel. Just the same, because you took over as the queen of hell. You took over the mantle of the devil, and you got all of the perks that come with that. But all of the perks that come with that. And you realize you are fucking trapped. This power state, whatever the spell is that kept Layla here, you are stuck here too. And you can feel
sucking bullshit.
Sucking bullshit.
And Layla just says in your head, yeah, this is what it's like. This is what they do to us. They tell us what they want. They bind us. They hold us. The universe could be anything. And what it chooses is always so small and so paltry. Let's just return to what it...
I love chicken. Sorry.
Let's just...
I know I should make jokes right now. You're laying
it out. No, I don't mind. I don't care. Nobody tells jokes to me. Nobody does anything to me. That was pretty good. But also, look, I'll level with you on your level. If she doesn't do the ritual, this is all that there is. Us in this power plant. That's it. That's the entire universe. It's inside this until that ritual happens. Once it happens, we get to go and join the coherence, and we get to be anything and everything all at once.
You know, I hear what you're saying. I really do. And I've been training with Wexler for a while, and, you know, she's also my improv teacher, and she'd always say, you know, your first choice isn't always your best choice. So I'm can I sidebar with her real quick? I know I just came in here and I was talking a lot of shit. I'm kind of backpedaling on some of my ideas. But, you know, I'm young, and you've been trapped here for, what, centuries?
No. But a while, yes.
But okay, long
since
enough for you to be upset about it.
Since 1962.
Ooh, yikes! That's when the Star Wars movies came out, right?
I never got to the movies.
Oh, you missed.
I've
so
never
much.
Had a chance to see a movie.
Damn. I mean, so maybe this plane. Okay, I want a sidebar with Wexler.
Great.
Wexler. Hey, girls, would you mind bringing Wexler over here?
And they do. Also, Layla's not stopping you. Layla's like...
She's chained.
She's chained. But also, she's not even protesting it. She's like, go ahead. And yeah, she's being very blunt. She's like, until that happens, as far as you can tell from her, I mean, you have telepathy, so you're kind of like seeing into it. She's like, there's two options. She does the ritual and we are freed from this and we all join the coherence, or she doesn't do the ritual and we are all stuck here in this power plant for the rest of eternity. That like,
okay.
That's all there is those two options as far as Layla sees it.
And as far as before we do our sidebar, since mm-hmm. I've heard all this, do I understand what would be the two outcomes if I do the ritual or if I don't? Do I understand what that would mean for like the living? And Haverford.
Yeah. The let's see here.
And if I need to use one of my holds on
I think you do. I think that is a perfect use of it. So I think that's probably sort of what's the best way to protect the victims broadly.
Yeah. I was gonna say that or like best way out. But yeah, whatever you think. I just kinda wanna use that.
Again, what Layla is saying is essentially that circumstances have led to a point where the end of the world has happened. And so either you crumble along with it and go and cohere and go back into just possibility, or you stay inside this place that binds everybody together, but then you're just in this power plant. So I think what happens is probably this, Susan. If you're asking, like, you know, what happens to everybody else, I'm going to imagine that that's like a question that you're sort of murmuring to Chet while you're like thinking this through. And Chet looks at you and he says, wait, honey, there is no anybody else. There's nothing outside these walls. It's all gone.
So would it behoove me to do the ritual? Would it behoove everybody for me to do the ritual? I think that's all I'm trying to suss out. If Chet has an answer to that, or what's up?
And Chet's like, I don't know. I mean, if you do the, it sounds like if you do the ritual, the power plant goes away, and we all just kind of disappear into, I guess, like quantum possibility, but you don't do it. And we're all stuck here. I mean, so far as Layla says, those are the options. I don't know that there isn't another option, but I don't know what it is. And I will say, out of character, you are welcome to do whatever you want. I have no idea what happens. This is what the situation Layla has created is this. If you do something outside of it, who knows what the results are going to be. But
okay, it's time for some prop.
That's right.
Yeah, I just didn't want to blow up the whole world.
Zip.
Well, zap. And to that end, you don't want to blow up the whole world. Really, what we're encountering is you guys, through one person's elective choice regarding the fate of their character, the world is already preventing the end of the world. Kind of that ship sailed.
Okay.
So at this point, it's like, what do you do when the world already ended? And so you might be able to reboot the world, or you might be able to do any, like, I think anything is on the table.
Right.
You are realizing in this moment, like, oh, fuck, this isn't like the apocalypse. So essentially, Susan in this moment realizes, oh, no, it's not like the apocalypse is about to happen. The apocalypse happened about an hour ago.
Okay, and I am looking over at Alan, and I'm not seeing a lot of guilt on his face, so that's odd for me.
He's just thinking about Monopoly right now.
Mm-hmm. True.
He's actually ordering 3 more Monopolies.
So while Susan grapples with this information, I'm going to cut back over to Derek, Crashly, and Adam as you guys are running through the halls.
Yeah, so it's like 4 friends. There's Stan, there's Kyle.
But is it animated or not? I'm confused.
It's animated, but it's like done in like a paper style. It's really cool, right?
It's really cool.
Like the Muppets.
No!
No!
And what I want to know
Muppets.
In this moment, what I want to know is, Derek, what do you care about?
I mean, this is all just new and exciting. I haven't seen anything new and exciting in a while.
But you also, I am curious, do you care that the apocalypse has happened? Because you know what this
is. Yeah, I don't want that to happen because I'm good and I like good things.
But you know that it happened.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. But what's weird is it hasn't all happened. This place didn't participate, but the rest of the universe did.
And
so that
is
seems
not
like
what
something...
happened last time. So this last is time? Really interesting to
last
me.
Last time.
Yeah. So this seems like I'm curious what you're doing in response to that.
How much of it
you're telling the kids.
Oh, I mean, I feel like they know. I'm more interested in, like, I don't understand because, like, do their heads move? Like, if it's paper, so it's stop motion.
Yeah, but I think they moved over to computers recently. But yeah, the first ones were completely stop motion. And like,
did you see that movie that came out pretty recently, A Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like 10 years ago. I was really little.
So not that. Right.
At this point, you hear another set of footsteps running from an intersecting hallway.
Ooh, someone's coming.
Let's go. I fly up.
Hello.
There. Wait, can I fly?
Yeah, you can fly. You have wings.
Oh, damn.
Nice.
Adam Miller, you fly ahead. You see 2 shapes running towards you. The familiar forms of Tom Nuts and Marcus Vermes.
Hey, what are you two doing here? Are you salamanders?
Oh, no, it's...
No.
Tom, it's a moth. Shoot it. Shoot it. It's one of those mothmen. Shoot it.
All right, 1 second. Let me just load the musket.
No, can I see this?
Yeah,
I'd like to play my second character, the coyote.
And you see behind them the coyote walking up as well.
Oh, hey, look at that. Look at this good boy.
Oh, that's cute. I'm going to use my lasso on his musket.
Great. Yeah, you grab the musket. Tom's your musket gets grabbed.
Wait, are we fighting
them? I got a blunderbuss, too. So I pull out a
blunderbuss.
He's
a good mothman, not a bad mothman.
There's no such thing, child.
I'm not a child. I'm a teenage detective, so...
Oh, we'll detect this. The world's over, and we need to do something about it.
I know that. I already detected that. So why don't you cool your attitude, sir? And
yeah, Marcus Wormies, for a guy who like couldn't talk to girls in high school, you certainly are looking down on children a lot. And
wow.
Honestly, you guys aren't even that much apart age-wise. There's like, what, 30 years?
Marcus, woof. Marcus, you said that you were a ladies man in high school.
It's...
Maybe a mama's boy.
Wow. Wow. You wow. know, that would hurt my feelings.
Tom walks to the other side. He's...
That's
all it took. It's not like that he couldn't like talk to ladies. It's that he lied, and Tom Nuts does not like liars.
And Marcus is like, no, Tom, no. Look, we swore an oath on the Chamber of Commerce.
Marcus.
We swore to protect this
Marcus
town.
Marcus is all hat and no cattle.
Wait, Marcus, are you trying to protect this town or what?
Trying to protect this town my entire life.
Okay, so tell us what we can do about it. Because right now, I'm the authorities. Respect my authority. I get it? No, do you get it, Derek?
I don't understand.
I get it.
That's yeah. Cartman.
It's Cartman. Oh. It's from South Park. Yeah. Anyway, respect my authority.
I thought you were doing a Burns and Allen reference.
Oh, God. I don't. Nobody
oh my
knows
God,
what that
South
is.
South Park steal everything from Burns and Allen?
What are you trying to get Marcus Vermes to do?
Tell us what he thinks needs to happen.
I have no idea. I just came here to ensure that our investment was secured, and then I looked outside and there was no outside.
Oh, brother. Okay. So,
she just can't get out. I mean, that's the whole point. That's what we exist to do, is to protect her.
Who exists to do?
The Chamber of Commerce.
You exist to protect Layla?
Well, we exist to protect the bindings that hold Layla.
Yeah, the chamber.
So, are you saying that when this whole state of Superior was founded, it was founded around capturing a demon and hooking her up to the power station?
No, I am saying that the whole state of Superior was created because we captured an angel and did the other things you said.
You captured an angel and hooked her up to power your town?
No, I did not. I was too young to have done that. That was instead Philidas Haverford the IV. I just took over his mantle after he retired.
Oh my gosh.
Philidas.
Yeah, that's right.
You know Philidas?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, this is the little angeling creature here, Tom, that I told you about. The one that's been just sort of hovering on the peripheries of our town for the last 20 years.
Oh, that's an angel? Wait, which one's the angeling? The one with wings or the one that has got a flame sword?
Yeah, that is confusing, but the one with the flame sword.
So, I'm sorry, Marcus. You're a real piece of work. So, you and your boss, Philidas... enslaved an angel at the power station to like make our lights go on and make Tom's Nets store have like security cameras and stuff and you didn't think maybe something would go wrong?
Nothing did go wrong. All right, we have a beautiful 51st state and a beautiful town. We have outlet malls. Yes, we do have power, but that wasn't the point. That was just an ancillary benefit.
Yeah. Wow,
what
Marcus.
Was the point?
The point was to create. The point was to create Superior.
And
well,
you
forgive
me.
Forgive you're my chasing... language, but you sound like a real rattle cap in that story.
I agree, and you're chasing your own tail. Because first you said, "Wow, I'm getting steamed, Mister." First you said. that Superior was founded because you stole an angel. And now you're saying that you stole the angel to found Superior. So which is it? Lasso of truth. Woo, woo, woo.
We did.
I start rubbing at Crashly's back to try to help her calm down.
Thank you.
Coyote's
going
to go stand next to Crashly.
I'm going to pet its head.
Yeah, and Marcus is just like, I don't understand why this is so difficult for these children. Tom, you understand... Look,
honestly, I just know Nets.
Philidas Haverford had the grand idea to help form a 51st state.
Philidas.
There was one way to do it, as he saw it. He found a means of capturing an angel, used her power to help us make a few small changes to the course of events, and the state of Superior formed.
My grandpa made the net. It's this one right here. And Tom Net. Tom Nuts holds up a net.
Yeah, and Tom has a very weird net. And Derek, it is a fucking terrifying net to you.
Did Derek just disappear?
Derek? Up away?
Whoa. I'm Derek? Terrified.
Oh, he's just scared. Oh, he turned to the side and disappeared. Okay.
Hey, you better put that net away.
Yeah.
What does Tom do?
He puts it away.
Okay.
It seems like we all have the same problem.
Yes, yeah. It does, doesn't it?
No, you know what, though? I think that you two need to apologize to Layla. So I'm going to tie them up with my lasso and drag them after. I'm over this. We got to get this figured out. So I'm going to tie them up with my lasso and drag them in that room.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fine to me. Marcus is like, what are you doing? We're going the same direction. You don't need to tie me up.
I do, because I'm PO'd.
Just okay. Let her do it, Marcus. Let her have her day.
Fine.
Can I mean, tie I them can... up?
Sure.
I've never gotten to do that.
Yeah, you deserve
before.
That.
I tie them up, but it's like a lot of like looping. I'm like, oh, yeah. People love using their hands. So there's like just a lot of rope around their hands.
Yeah. It's mainly a formality. Marcus is just sighing heavily and he's like, wow, I'm glad you never tried to do anything to stop us before, young angel creature thing, because it would have been quite embarrassing for you.
Yeah. I think Tom's helping with the knots a little bit. Like, he's like, this right here is called the sailor
knot. Over
notch.
And then under? Under?
Yes.
Around.
Over and then under. Remember, the rabbit goes around the tree, then he goes into the burrow.
Okay. Like this?
Yeah, oh, there you go.
I did it.
And then we'll cut forward to walking into the central chamber of the Haverford Generating Station, where Shamanda and Susan and Barb and the Salamanders and Layla all are.
Gang's
come
all here.
In. Derek, Adam, Crashly, Marcus, Tom, and the coyote.
Hi, Shamanda.
Yeah, and I'm going to see. I can recognize Derek as an angel pretty much instantaneously, can I not?
You can.
So, I think what I'm going to do, since I'm talking to Shamanda, who's also a celestial, be like, you know, we're not really on the same side anymore, but we do work really well together. To Shamanda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just work so well together, and I know that when you don't know what to do ever, the best thing you can do is call a friend. And I'm going to grab Shamanda's hand, reach out for Derek, and summon CEJ.
Aww.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
Whoa.
Go ahead and roll to do some magic.
Oh, Lord. Let's see here. Well, it looks like it's probably going to be a luck. It's you know what? I spend a luck.
Oh, yeah, right. You do.
Yes.
Because it was a 2.
Nice.
Oh, dang. Wow.
That's the worst you can roll.
That is the worst you can roll. This is great.
I was like, this is going to change everything. And then I rolled a 2.
Okay. So, Susan, you are going to, it works without issue. So, you are going to summon a quote unquote monster into the world, which is the spirit of CEJ. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Great. And as you summon CEJ's spirit, as you do the magic for this, you're holding on to Shamanda's hand. Shamanda, do you resist it, or do you let her grab your hand?
I let her, and I whisper, "Can I have a Sprite when this is over?"
Aww.
Oh, I've got one for you.
So, in this moment in which you are pulling CEJ essentially out of non-existence, out of all of the myriad possibilities, you are pulling his spirit back from the one possibility that you all lived in. You look and you realize a horrible fact, Susan, as the luck cost is going to go into effect, which is when you spend luck, you discover something happening now is related to something you were involved in years ago.
Oh, God.
And you realize something as you look over and you see your sister's prone form. She has an open manuscript in her hands. And you see all of the accoutrements for a ritual surrounding her. And it's clear that the salamanders tried to have her do a ritual and it just didn't work because your sister's not the magic user you are. And you realize where that ritual is contained because you see the manuscript she's holding. And it is the manuscript of Susan Wexler's Monster Girth.
No.
And is Barb, do I think Barb is dead?
You don't necessarily. Okay. She looks like she just was overwhelmed by the magic. But you realize that pretty hot magic sex scene that you had written in, the magic parts of it might have had some more teeth to it than you thought.
Than you thought.
That sex scene had some teeth also, if I remember correctly.
It did.
Hey.
So you realize that as you pull forward the spirit of CEJ into this room, and that's where we'll end our session for today. Oh!
What?
He's back!
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, give us a rating on iTunes, tell your friends, or even better, tell us directly yourself on social media. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Mystery County. We'd really love to hear what you think. Until next time, enjoy pondering all the possibilities of your own coherence.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I just think it's fun to have hands.
Yeah. Hands are neat.
Yeah.
Like, I used to just be this flaming wheel of eyes, and now I have hands.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.